You're listening to Face Off, episode 40, recorded October 25th, 2009. Welcome to Face Off, your face-to-face web technology podcast. I'm one of your hosts, Jade Robbins.
And I'm Mark Sanborn.
And in this podcast, we talk about various aspects of web technology, such as web development, social media, and web entrepreneurship. As always, you can view our show notes by going to faceoffshow.com. All right, we have kind of a special episode this week. What we want to talk about, we're going to do a SCM blowout.
A face-off.
This is a true face-off. We are facing things off and comparing them. We're going to do SCM, which stands for source code management. And, you know, Mark, what is SCM? Why would I want to use it?
Well, I mean, one of the reasons you use it is you want some sort of a backup kind of thing going on. And, source code management is a little bit smarter than that. It does backing up. So like, you know, you could revert, let's say, well, okay, so that's one way to use it. It's the backing up.
Yep.
You're logging in single user and you're like, oh, I goof something up and my code's not compiling or working anymore. I need to go back to whatever I was working on before. You can kind of revert back. So you got little snapshots.
Yeah.
On top of that is it's actually really smart for multiple developers is you can work on multiple people can work on the same file without the risk of one person checking it out and then saving over top of the other guy's
code. So like the sort of workflow, let's say if you have multiple developers, we'll even ignore just a single developer, is that, you know, maybe you have a shared folder or something like that, and you know, one person edits a file, another person edits a file, and then they, you know, upload it like via FTP or something and it overwrites the other person's changes.
In the early days of web development, I mean this was very frequent.
I did it. I mean,
I mean, Dreamweaver even added a feature that like locks the files when you're in the little folder. But I think it's come to, I mean, source code management is just the way to go.
Yeah, it's about managing your source code. I mean, instead of just keeping it as a sort of flat static file, you know, that everyone can kind of muck around with or anything like that, it allows you to, in a smart way, manage your source code, how it's working, who's working on what, and how it flows.
And you might say, well, I'm just a single developer. Do I need it? You know, it's actually very, very helpful, even for a single developer. There's some really cool things. But if you have multiple developers, it's like a necessity.
I would say it's essential. So being that we don't have any follow-ups or sort of, you know, specifically web apps this week. But if you have something you want to let us know about, go to faceoffshow.com/feedback. Like if you have a follow-up or a web app for us to cover in a later episode, we kind of decided to make this a special one because you and I, we really believe in source code management. It's very important. And there's a lot of people out there that don't know about it or are still using just one.
I mean, undecided on which one to use.
Totally. You
know? And we're going to talk about a few web apps actually that go along with them too.
Yeah, we're going to talk about source code management, you know, which should be fairly quick. But the really big face-off blowouts, we're going to look through a bunch of different source code management websites that do like that host your source code management or allow you to do different things with it. There's a lot of them out there, a lot of really good ones, a lot of really old ones that have been around for a long time. And definitely some new players in the market that are awesome.
Definitely.
So again, faceoffshow.com/feedback. You know, if you have a web app or news and follow up for later episodes, but this one let's dig right into it. So our first source code management tool is Subversion.
Well, let's step back a little bit and say, you know, what's the two schools of thoughts right now on source code management, like central versus.
There's centralized versus decentralized. And the sort of centralized model is that you have a single place where is, you know, the canonical, the authoritative host of the source code. Everybody works against this sort of centralized place that it goes against to, you know, all your commands and stuff kind of go back to this centralized location and it does all the work there. The other model is distributed, which is very decentralized, you know, A lot of projects have tried to add a sort of centralized component to their decentralized model because it is useful, but also like the ability to, you know, just create your own sort of source code management thing right where you are without having to go to a server or anything is also very useful and very powerful.
So with like a centralized model like Subversion, it was almost like you've got to be very careful what you commit. It has to work. It's mm-hmm. very, very, it's kind of a, you know, a special place, yeah. you know, this, because it was, this, that was it.
It has a very sort of strict workflow. You go in, you find the Subversion server, and then you check out a copy of the code from the server. You make your changes, and then you can commit or branch. But anything you do, you commit, and it goes back to the server.
It doesn't go on your local machine.
Yeah,
save it. So you can't have like little local commits, can you, with Subversion?
No, once you commit, it goes up to the server, and then again, anyone else who is using that same sort of source code would pull down the changes from the server. So anything you do would get sort of enforced to everyone else.
So with Subversion, you only have you have your working files, and then when you want to save it and say, okay, I'm done for the day or whatever, mm-hmm. you either have to commit it to the main branch, you know, the main central sacred place, or, you know, save, just kind of hope it's there. Yeah. You can't really revert and things.
So some of the features it has is you can tag a certain version. You can tag it with something, you know, a lot of places use tagging for like version numbers. Like, we'll tag this commit, which might be build, you know, 7,963 with version 1.186, so that when you go to Subversion, you can check out, you know, source code /tags/1.816. That's great. It also has branching, but then again, branching is through the server. So if you branch, everyone else sees your branch. You know, when you commit it, that branch is committed to the server without really even asking you. It's not an option.
I never ever made a branch in Subversion, but I heard it was very iffy.
It's branching like, in Subversion is kind of simple. It's almost like you just create another folder on there. It has, you know, a couple other special things, but for the most part, it's really simplistic.
Maybe it's the merging that gets
merging can be kind of hairy with Subversion, which. But Subversion was also an answer to CVS, which we're not really talking about. But for practicality's sake, they're almost the same thing.
They're kind of
CVS and Subversion are very similar. They're both centralized. They have a lot of the same things. Subversion just made a couple things easier. It's kind of a, you know, almost like, you know, CVS version 2.0. So we're not even going to talk about CVS. It's old. People still use it. But most people who have, you know, would use CVS have moved on to Subversion.
So can we get into distributed now? Because this seems to be
Let's talk about your typical workflow with, you know, Subversion, right? So I go and I check out a copy of the repository. So I have a local copy. But then, you know, I go in and I make changes to all my stuff. And then I say, okay, my change is good. And I commit to the server. Mm-hmm. Now, the whole time I have my little local copy, I want to update from the repository. Because if anyone else makes changes, I want to pull them in. And if there is a conflict or something, you sort of resolve it and then recommit and put it up on the server.
Okay. So for someone that's new to that whole system, what is a conflict?
I guess. It's when, like, if two people change the same file.
It's the same area in the file?
Yeah.
Or the same file?
Well, it just depends. Okay. Subversion's pretty smart at being, like, if they're in different places, it's not really a conflict. Mm. Conflict. I feel like I'm saying it. Weird, but maybe it's one of those things where you hear the same word enough times it sounds weird. But so if you know edit the same spot, then Subversion says, "Well, you both edited the same spot. Whose is right? Whose should be in the repository?" I don't know.
So here's a little snippet fixing.
Yeah. So the Subversion culture is kind of like you update often, you pull from the master repository a lot, and you try and get your commits in first, because if your commit is in, then it's okay, and the other person has to resolve the conflicts. Yeah, because it is work to resolve conflicts, especially if you do a lot of the same editing. It can be a big pain.
So like make like four changes and update.
Exactly. Commit. Again, it's not very friendly to you kind of working on your own thing for an extended period of time, because it can be difficult to merge changes.
It's to my understanding that most places that use Subversion, it's like very, like when you commit code, it better work. Like it's not to be messed with.
Absolutely.
You shouldn't just work on something halfway.
Because when you commit, it's pushing up to the server, which means then if everyone is doing the right thing and updating from the repository often, if you do something that breaks it, then they might spend time trying to figure out why their stuff's broken, when in reality your bad code broke it. So you have to make sure it's ready, which kind of makes it hard, because it's not easy to look at your changes and commit your changes, because if you commit them, it breaks everyone else's stuff. So you kind of like are in your own little island for like a long time working on your changes. And then when you make a commit, you're like, all right, here we go. Now,
I mean, they try to remedy that by having branches, I would imagine, like an experimental branch or something.
Yeah, but again, most workflows are that, you know, it's a project branch, usually right. not your own. It's like if you have, you know, you want to branch to version 2.0, which is going to be a new and fairly crazy code base, you would branch off to that and keep sort of your, you know, your sort of trunk, which is the main branch of a subversion thing, is called a trunk. Mm-hmm. You keep your trunk kind of rolling along. With stable stuff, and then you're, you know, but again, like it seems out of character in a subversion repository to make like a jade branch, like, oh, I just want to do this because it's propagated to everybody, mm-hmm. right? It's right. not branching is not really easy. It's supposed to be sort of a, you know, kind of a canonical community thing. Like we're making a branch, not you're making a branch. Yeah. You know, maybe if you were trying to make your own version of the software, like, oh, I want to make, you know, Jade's version of this software. Then you'd make a branch. But you don't just make a branch just so that you can work on stuff.
Okay. So it's very central, very mm-hmm. monarch-ish.
Yeah, definitely. It's very central. It's very, you know, there is the big daddy that kind of, you know, populates it down to everyone else. But it's, again, it's absolutely better than nothing. And to a lot of people like me, I started source code management with Subversion. So well, I have a hard time in my head with these other distributed ones a little bit. I'm getting better the more I use them. But to me, source code management means I have a central repository that I pull an update from. It's just kind of the way it is.
All right, let's get into the distributed then.
Yeah, the distributed ones are great. You and I have really started using these a lot. We talked about them, I think, episode 5. We talked about how you liked Git.
Yeah.
And we've really started using it and feeling very comfortable with them now.
So distributed obviously means that it's not central.
Yes.
It's spread out. So it leads somebody that's new to it to the question is, how do you control what happens? How do you know? Or where's the code at?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Where's the code at? It's like, well, it's here on yours. And you're like, but yeah. What?
So how does, you know, the way a lot of them do it is they actually cryptographically, you know, make sure that all the code before that was good by using hashes.
Mm-hmm.
And then everyone has a local copy. And then as we'll see here soon, there's services that keep like, you know, kind of main.
They kind of act like the sort of subversion server for the code.
And we'll pull.
Which is useful. I think that creates, you know, it kind of adds that sort of canonical, you know, again, authoritative bit to this sort of distributed system, which is useful, especially if you're working on a big, you know, code project with a bunch of people. But it also gives you the flexibility of keeping it a local repository that you can do a lot of stuff with. So, like, for example, with Git, you can create a repository anywhere, anytime. You don't need to make a server. So
that's
you just,
handy.
Yeah, you go into a folder, you hit git init, and there you go.
It's done.
There's no extra work. You know, Subversion can be kind of a pain sometimes. You have to have a Subversion server somewhere that you can have to. You have to have someone make you a repository on it, and then you have to make sure you check out from there. Not with Git.
Back in the day, I would use like my web hosts.
Yeah, exactly.
And it would like upload the files, and it takes some time. This is like instant because it's local.
Yeah, I didn't. I mean, I found in the past that I didn't make everything a source code, you know, under source control management because it was more difficult with Subversion.
You had to make a new project name. And
exactly.
And
you're like, well, what do I call it? Then, you know, if you look at your Subversion repository or your Subversion server, there is just thousands, you know, if you did it like that, there'd be thousands of repositories, all of them, you know, half of them probably useless, but Git takes care of that. You create it there. And then, so with that, because it's not centralized, branching and merging is really easy. You could make a mark branch in a project to work on your code, you know?
Yeah, because essentially every instance of that code is a branch, really, because you're cloning it, I guess, from...
Yeah, so you would say, you know, branch mark, and then you could go and work on your stuff, and then when you think your stuff is good enough to put into, you know, the main line, you would merge it with your local copy and then push it up to, like, you know, if there's an authoritative... You know, Git repository somewhere. But it's really easy for you to make a mark branch, do your work that you're working on, and still, if you want, you can keep, you know, bringing in other people's changes, or when you're done, you know, you can rebase and recommit back to the big one with no trouble. It's really easy. And it doesn't affect anyone else. You can make a million branches on your local copy, and it doesn't hit the rest of the people working on it. It doesn't have to.
Mm-hmm. So you could do major like rewrites on your own and then say, hey, here's what I did. Do you want it?
Maybe if you just want to refactor someone in some crazy way as an experiment, branch it and check it out. If it doesn't work, delete the branch. It's fine. It doesn't affect anyone. No one else would even know because it's all done in your local Git repository on your computer.
Yep.
That being said, a lot of people, you know, Git is great for, you know, single person projects, but having that sort of authoritative repository is very helpful. So there's been a lot of services that we'll talk about later that have sort of Git support now. So you can add a remote location. This is the other part too, is let's say if you don't have just an authoritative big server, you can add all of your other friends as remote Gits. So if you are working on the same project, you say, okay, it's kind of a pain, and we'll talk about why Mercurial makes it a little bit easier later to do this. You would say, okay, give me an account on your computer, and then SSH. I'll, you know, through SSH, I can add your Git as a remote, and then I can push and pull from that. But it's kind of a pain to set up at first. So a lot of places that, like we'll talk about later, have kind of created this really easy to access, centralized, authoritative Git repository system so that you can still, it still has that benefit of being local and small, so you can pull down from them and merge and do your stuff. But you still have that power of being able to branch locally and things like that.
Yeah, it seems like distributed is definitely gaining a lot of popularity, whether it be Git or Mercurial. The distributed, it seems to be the way to go these days. A lot of major projects are switching over. One is Dig.
Yeah. Yeah, Dig just switched from Subversion to Git. I think the thing is, it's hard to really explain the benefits of a decentralized repository system to someone who is used to a centralized one. Like myself, I didn't try Git for a long time. Everybody said, Git's awesome, you got to try it. And I said, well, no, Subversion works. I have no, you know, it's, especially if you came from where you didn't do it at all. You know, if you don't do any source code management, when you get into Subversion, it is freaking sweet. It's the most amazing thing in the world. You're right. Like, how did I ever live without this?
Yeah.
And then when someone comes along and says, hey, you should try this Git thing, like, you say, yeah, like, well, no, dude, Subversion is king.
I've been with it for a few years and I like this Subversion yeah, stuff.
Exactly.
But I mean, Git is just so nice for you know, a single, or I mean, it's not just Git, but distributed systems is so nice for a single developer that doesn't want to, you know, be bothered by setting up a server and all that stuff.
Totally. A great example is Paul Levette, the guy we had on the show with. I work with him. He was rebuilding a server for someone, and he said, man, I didn't realize how useful a distributed source control management is until I started doing this. I mean, he really got the benefit of it. He said, every config file that I was editing, he's like, I made it a Git repo. Then I could manage my changes. If I screwed something up, I could revert back to a prior change without any hassle at all. And if anybody goes in and changes something, like if they hired, you know, someone else and then it breaks again and they call me in, he's like, I can see the differences because either they'll be using Git and commit to the local Git, or they'll, you know, they won't have known about Git. And he can go in and be like, yeah, exactly. You can go and see the changes and diff them.
That's a great use case.
Absolutely. And you don't have to have the pain of, like we said, setting up 1,000 different little Subversion repositories for all the different little things you're doing. You don't really have to hack around it. You can just do what it's made for. You make a Git repo in that folder and use it the way it should be.
That's excellent. I mean, that would be a great spot for an Apache config file or any of those big, large ones that you like, let's say you want to make a bunch of changes and go through and delete some comments out of it and then see if it works. Oh, it didn't work. I can just revert.
Yeah, I mean, it kills me that my Team Fortress 2 server for Montana Fragfest is on a Windows box, because I would love to be able to SSH in and then, you know, do a Git init on that whole folder for all the, because there's config files scattered everywhere, and it would be so nice to be able to say, well, people are saying this broke 2 weeks ago. What did I change 2 weeks ago? And I don't have to guess. I can go into Git and see that commit I made, see the diff since then, and tweak it around with. It would be absolutely wonderful.
It would be almost like a little ghost or a snapshot of what happened.
Totally.
It's perfect.
It's great. So that's Git. And I honestly, Mark and I have drank the Git Kool-Aid. We really like it. It took a little bit, but I am 100% into Git. I love it. It's wonderful.
Yeah, I've been using Git for a few months. I don't know, 6 months or... I mean, if you go back if you've been following the show, it was one of the earlier episodes I talked about learning Git. I use it ever since I talked about
totally.
It.
Totally. So. Now we've done Git, but there's been this other one that we've heard about from people such as Eric Wendelin, who we had on the show once, a good friend of ours, that we've heard about called Mercurial. Now, to be honest, I did the same thing with Mercurial that I did with Subversion back in the day. Git does everything I need.
Exactly.
Everything you read says Mercurial's, you know, almost identical to Git. So I'm like, why would I switch?
When I first saw it, I was like, oh, what is this? All these Java guys are using it.
Exactly.
Not another one. You know, like, oh, Git seems to work for me. Why should I have to switch or even try it?
So we sat down last night and we actually did some pair programming. Whoa.
Yeah.
And tried out Mercurial, and it's really cool. It does a lot of the same sort of stuff as Git, but there are definitely some added features which are really cool.
Yeah, the first thing to note is it was easy to learn, especially coming from
Git.
Like, Most of the commands are
identical. A lot of the language is synonymous. It's very similar.
I think we learned it in, I don't know, a half hour?
Oh, easy. Yeah, I mean, after a half hour, you and I both said, wow, I would feel absolutely comfortable using this.
I could use this right now.
But it has some easier things too, right? So, I mean, it has some benefits above Git.
Yeah, I mean, the first one I noticed kind of right away was it has, you know, the traditional build numbers as well as the hash to represent the differences in the code as you go along.
And stuff. Yeah. So with Git, it's like everything is a hash, which is great. And Mercurial is pretty much the same way, but sometimes you don't want to be like, well, what commit did you do that on? So like if you've ever had to revert to previous versions in Git, you know, you basically
you
know,
have to copy and
you
paste
know head and then all the other sort of commit things that you just don't know because they're SHA-hashes. So, you know, you're like, well, what commit do you do that? 8, 6, 9, 3, 4, 2. Mercurial adds a build number and then the SHA-hash. So you can refer to either, which is super handy.
Yeah, so you could say, like, I don't know, revert to number 17, build 17.
Yeah.
Whereas in Git, you'd have to say, revert to this hash. You'd have to, like, almost copy and paste it because they're, like, I don't know, 32 bits or 64 bit hashes.
And you're like, eh. But it was nice to be able to like revert to one, you know, and it's like, oh, well, one is not, it's one, it's not AX94, you know.
It's definitely not something that I'd be like, oh my God, I need to switch from Git. That's terrible. I gotta have revision numbers. But it was very nice.
It's
I
super
liked
handy.
It.
It's nice to have around.
The next thing I noticed was the Git ignore file. I was like, I mean, that's kind of a big deal for me. I often need to have control over an entire file or folder of files, but there is some files that I don't need to keep track of. So I wanted to ignore them, and Git is really easy. All you have to do is put them in this little file.
Compared to subversion.
So subversion is...
In Git, with Git, you create a .gitignore file, and you can give it any sort of really... You could say like star.jpg. Don't control those.
Yep.
I do star.swap or SWP because those are the Vim swap files, and I don't want them to be committed if I leave one hanging around.
I need to add those
around.
In mine because I have to delete those all the time.
Ignoring files in subversion is a royal pain in the butt. It is...
Ugh.
You have to like modify the ignore property of the repository.
As proof of how bad they are, I wrote a blog article on how to do it, and it's one of my more popular posts.
Yeah.
People, I mean, it's not
just
obvious.
It's a huge pain. So, and one thing you said when we were looking at Mercurial, you said, oh, how easy is it to ignore files?
Because
it's really
thing.
Easy in Git. Well, Mercurial basically
it's
is
identical.
The exact same way. You make a .hg ignore.
Yeah, instead of git ignore, it's just hg ignore, dot hg ignore.
Which, if anybody didn't get the connection, all the executable for Mercurial is hg, which is the periodic table.
Good point.
Atomic name? Atomic symbol? Atomic symbol.
For Mercury.
Wow. Yeah, for Mercury.
So also, this is a really cool feature here that
absolutely.
We're going to hgserve.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about HC.
Well, what it does is it runs. So, Mercurial is a Python project. It's not. Git is a compiled executable that they make for each one. Mercurial is Python. So, this is what's great about it. It can use all the power of Python to do all these cool things. Like, it can use an easy Python web server to create a quick website to, you know, a quick server for your Mercurial thing. So you do hgserve. It creates a web server on port 8000 that you can go to that website and actually look at your commits. It kind of it shows you trees and you can kind of browse it and stuff.
It shows like a little graph and colors, colored output.
And then if you want to add someone else's stuff as a remote, they just make it as a server and then you can add it and pull it.
Pull from
you don't have to do that sort of goofy stuff we were talking about with Git where you have to like have an SSH tunnel into their computer and all that junk. You just create a server and someone's like, hey, oh, I need you to look at my code I'm looking at real quick. You know, with Git, you'd be like, well, with subversion, you'd be like, well, commit it to the tree. Don't tell anybody, you know, that you're committing experimental code and I'll look at it. With Git, you'd be like, okay, I need to get to your machine with SSH or something, or you just, you know, copy it to a folder with a Git folder. You know, with this, you could be like, oh, I'll just fire up an hgserve, and then you just say, all right, we'll pull my code from the hgserve. Boom, there you go.
Now with this, it would probably help to be on the same network. If you were across the network, you'd probably have to figure out how to
go
through the router.
But like
that,
in a typical work environment where you're on the local network, you
definitely.
Know, pretty easy.
And if you're a single developer, you just hit hgserve. You got a little web preview. You can browse through your source code in a nice little, graphical type way.
Yep.
I mean, you can see the added lines are in green and, you know, it's kind of nice
it does
looking.
Like the visual diff and stuff for you.
And then when you're done, you just close out the server and continue working.
Yeah.
I mean, it's real easy, real simple.
Totally.
It's almost like having one of these apps that we're going to talk about built in.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, I've drank the well, absolutely, for a long time now, I've drank the source control management Kool-Aid. It's essential. And especially if you ever get another developer in, you totally have to use it, I think. Right?
Yeah, definitely.
And I prefer the distributed versus the centralized. Mm-hmm. I think centralized is nice, though. I talk about this. I think a good workflow for a centralized repository is something like Subversion, because it's really, it's almost made for like, here is a new build, here is this, you know. So I wouldn't feel bad for using Subversion to do releases of my code to the public or to, mm-hmm. you know, developers. But for people developing on the project itself, I would want to have, you know, pretty strict decentralized source control management.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But Mercurial is great. So is Git. Like you and I were saying, I might play around with Mercurial in one of my new projects just because I want to, you know, play around with it. And it's really easy to learn if you've used Git. I mean, it's...
And also, one thing I want to add on to Mercurial also is, let's say you are using Git, and plus for some reason you just want to transfer your existing project, there's actually a convert feature of it. It will convert all kinds of things, SVN, CVS, Git. It converts them to Mercurial, so yeah. you don't lose anything.
Totally.
You can switch.
Yeah, because like there's like some Git SVN bridges and stuff, which are a pain. Because if you think about it, it's easy to switch to like Mercurial to Git, right? You just remove the .hg folder, you just remove the .git folder, and then, you know, init the other one in there. But then you lose all that history of all your commits, right, and stuff like that. This bridge is really nice because it actually does convert all your old convert and log information so that you still have all that that historical information still in your project.
Yep.
There's some other source control management ones out there, to be honest with you. These are sort of the big three that I've heard of and used. I don't know. There's some other ones, and maybe if you guys have heard, there's like Bazaar and a couple.
These seem to be the ones that are coming out on top.
Yeah, people are really
right now. As of right now, these are the most popular ones, I would say.
Absolutely.
Although Ubuntu uses Bazaar and really likes it.
Yeah. So I don't know, but if you guys have used any of these other ones, feel free to let us know. Send us, go to faceoffshow.com/feedback. Let us know your thoughts and feelings about it. We'd really appreciate it. We're not going to get to the source control hosting options right now because we're running out of time. So we'll take care of that next episode. So keep tuning in and we'll get to it. So I want to remind you guys, though, if you haven't already, go to the show, go to faceoffshow.com/subscribe. You can subscribe to the show. We have all kinds of ways you can subscribe there. You can leave feedback to the show by going to faceoffshow.com/feedback. We have all kinds of ways you can let us know how we're doing, good or bad. We always want to hear it, and we really appreciate it. Thanks, guys, and we'll see you next week.